Well, let's welcome in our first guest today to Mugs in the Morning, and she is Kelly Sheets, English Learner Program. I just about said language. Kelly, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You know, we like to highlight from time to time great things that North Platte Public Schools are doing, and this is one aspect, and you get the call today to highlight this English Learner Program. It's your 10th year in the position, 12th year at North Platte Public Schools overall. So I guess that puts you in the veteran category, huh?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while now.
And, you know, it evolves like, you know, all programs to adapt to the needs of today's students. And that's kind of the way all teaching and everything within education, you got to kind of adapt to different tools that are available to you, and I'm sure it's kind of been that way for you, and you could probably speak to the changes within the program even in your 10 years, right?
Yeah, when I started the program, in the program role 10 years ago, we had, I think, around 50 students, and primarily Spanish speakers, and mm-hmm. today we are at maybe 225 students, and we have over 27 languages represented from more than 20 countries. So it's definitely grown and changed in those years.
That is incredible. I bet you if you took a survey of North Platte residents, they would not come close to guessing that there's 27 languages, different languages spoken in the public schools here in town and from more than 20 countries. That's just amazing. What are some of the, I mean, in countries, I'm guessing all over the world too. Is Spanish still the primary? I mean, if you listed how many students speak Spanish compared to the others, still on top of the list?
Yes, yeah, Spanish is still the main one.
Are some of the others then?
Big influx of Swahili in the last couple of years. Yep, from Africa.
No,
and then we have several Tagalog speakers from the Philippines, that have come in the last couple of years. And then we just kind of have a mix of a few from here and a few from there. But Spanish is still the primary, the largest, in addition to English.
Yep. So, this is all grade levels, basically. We're talking starting on the kindergarten and moving all the way up through high school. So you've got to find a way to make them comfortable, and so that's kind of what you're tasked with, right? Getting them to the point where they know English well enough that they feel like they can converse with English language students, right?
Yeah, so we have students come in that start what we call a level one, so they're really emerging learners, and they typically have no English when they come in. Mm-hmm. And so those ones, we use a lot of visuals, put them in groups, have them practice talking and reading every single day, all the way up to students who are nearly proficient and just need a little bit of support in their classes. Mm-hmm. Throughout the week. So some students stay in the program for a year, some are in the program for 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And just to give them the tools to be able to function in society in our classrooms. So
one of the things you have is what you call explicit language instruction. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so basically that's just the idea that just putting them in a classroom and having them listen to language is not enough to help them be proficient in English.
Right.
So we want to give them the opportunity every single day to learn new language patterns. So we teach something like a sentence frame, and then students have the opportunity for that lesson to practice the language multiple times. So oftentimes this looks like playing games with them, working in groups, doing projects, so that they get the opportunity to talk and practice the language in a flexible, authentic setting.
Yeah, I think that's, and if we were going, I think you have to kind of put yourself in what they're going through, too. If we went to a foreign country, didn't know the language, just to plop you in a classroom, just think of being a student, you're in a classroom, you're hearing the language, and you're picking up some things, but in order for that to really take hold, you got to actually be in settings where you're encouraged to speak a little bit, and sure, you're going to make some mistakes, but that's what it's for. It's for, you know, here's how we say it, and, you know, like tenses and different things and
words
that you choose,
right? And we try really hard to do, like, build really good relationships with the students and among mm-hmm. the students with each other so that they do feel like it's a safe space for them. So, you know, they feel more comfortable because there's not 25 kids. There's maybe 12 in that group. So they're more willing to...
It's not so overwhelming in a smaller group, right?
Yeah. More willing to talk out and, you know, and share. And mm-hmm. we see a ton of growth each year, which is super rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the point where they, you know, then they don't eventually, hopefully... The goal is to get them to the point where they don't hesitate, mm-hmm. and they know they're not going to maybe nail everything 100%, but they get to the point where they feel confident. They know enough of the language and the structure and how to say it that they can communicate effectively, right?
Yeah, the main goal is, as hard as it is for me, is for them to not be with me anymore. You know, we want to make them comfortable enough that they can not only do academic tasks, but be successful in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use that language at Walmart, use that language out shopping with family on a trip, you know, so we make sure that the language that we teach is high leverage so that they can use it in a variety of settings mm-hmm. and really portable so they can, you can take it anywhere. It's not just for this lesson. It's for the, you know, your whole life. Mm-hmm. You're going to need it. So.
Okay. So you have a lot of different activities geared towards getting them, come out and speak the language. Different types of settings, too. Do you take this into the real world, or does this stay in the classroom, or is the real world stuff just something you encourage them to speak English when they have opportunities to?
Last several years, we've taken them to the zoo in Omaha, and so they had the opportunity to see, you know, and use the language to talk about things that they saw on the trip there at the zoo, on the trip back. In the past mm-hmm. years, we've also taken students to a restaurant and had them try and order in English.
That's a good thing.
So we've done several different activities. We also host an annual family night where students, typically they create some sort of project to showcase their learning, and then they present it to the families at family mm-hmm. night. So they're getting used to like speaking in public, talking. I mean, we don't mm-hmm. do in front of all 200 people, but,
right.
you know, having them with the parents walking through and they're sharing those sentences that they've practiced. And it's really powerful to see them come out and shine even through the nerves and fear of that.
I mean, I think it's something, if you put yourself in what they're, you know, what they've sometimes didn't ask for, in that setting, and you're in a foreign country, and, I mean, the culture, too, is another aspect of it, too. Now, you're not focusing on that so much. It's more about the language, but just try to envision if you were just plopped in a foreign country, and the language would probably be the biggest thing, but then you'd have to, they're also dealing with learning customs and trying to fit in when they're with, you know.
Absolutely,
other students, too.
And
so
it's a whole thing. Yeah. On language the most.
Yeah.
But we do, you know, because we have students from so many different cultures, we do talk about it. Like, these are the expectations here when you go to Walmart. This is what it sounds like when you, you know, talk to an adult versus talking to a friend. So just helping them figure out what is the cultural norm. And we've got students who come in who have never touched a computer. Our world's digital.
Yeah.
And so just giving them opportunities to like, hey, let me help you bridge that gap and make sure that you're comfortable doing that.
Hmm. Yeah. Boy, you got a lot on your plate for sure. And then that's kind of part of what you wanted to highlight too with helping the students. Some of the things you do is help them create schedules, provide support in their content classes, use visual supports, sentence frames, and other tools to help them understand. It's probably, too, since we learn in different ways, too, you got to find out on an individual basis what, you know, might help one student more than another student, kind of find what helps them, you know, make that advancement quicker, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of individual instruction, mm-hmm. you know, and end up putting students in strategic groupings to help them. But we also, we utilize visual supports for almost every student. But when students enroll, especially like at the secondary level, we spend time going through their schedules and deciding like, they need mm-hmm. EL or English learners, but they also need these other classes that we want to make sure they're supported in. We don't just want to throw them to the wolves. So mm-hmm. sometimes that looks like having a para go into the classroom with them. helping them understand. Sometimes it looks like working with the teachers and collaborating on that to make sure that there's a plan in place. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's pretty big at the secondary level. At the elementary level, it's more supporting those teachers. So, you know, we would have paras go into the classroom sometimes, but we also are trying to help create resources so that, you know, instead of having the regular test, there might be a test with pictures on it so that students are able to access the curriculum and make growth even in their regular grade level classes. Hmm.
Just a lot of different things that you don't normally think about, because not many of us have been in that position where we've been in a classroom where, I just can't imagine what that'd be like, sitting in a classroom, they're speaking another language, and sure, you can probably figure some things out just by observation or intuitively maybe, but dealing with that, that's got to be overwhelming. And to get them to the point where they're comfortable with it, I imagine is your main reward, to see that finally push through and take to the point where they feel fairly comfortable speaking English, right?
Yeah, and that is something, like, I taught grade level content before I took the EL position, and you can see growth among mm-hmm. students in those roles too, but it's really cool when they come in knowing my name is blank and being able to leave and have full conversations. I mean, you can see that light bulb go on every single day, mm-hmm. and it's one of the biggest blessings. I'm definitely in the right position, because I get mm-hmm. I get that big reward every single day. So
you mentioned at the beginning there's about 225 students in this English learner program, but you try to put them consolidated down to, you mentioned, three grade schools, mm-hmm. and then what, three middle schools, and then the high school, basically
two middle and one high school.
Two middle schools.
Yep.
So there's, I mean, like six different locations where these are located. So, I mean, do you have people at each location, or are you bopping, you know, back and forth between the different schools then to check in?
So when I first started, we had students in all of the buildings, mm-hmm. and we, my para and I went from building to building providing services. We drove in the snow, we drove in the sun, all the things. Mm-hmm. But as the program grew, we were like, this is not, you know, it's not feasible anymore. And so we've had to make changes over the years. At one point, we were even driving a bus. We got bus certified. So we were going to pick up students and bringing them back, teaching them, and then dropping them off. Mm-hmm. To now where we have staff in every building that's an EL building. Mm-hmm. So what's really nice about that is then not only are they there to provide supports for the students for those groups, but they also are there to support the teachers and, you know, and be a voice within that building to help mm-hmm. them, instead of just one person running to every building. So mm-hmm. it's a lot more workable.
These students, are they taking regular classes, or do they have to, you know, have these specific English learner classes until they get to the point where, you know, you feel like they can take the regular classes that the other students are taking?
It's really a combination of both. So mm-hmm. The state law says that we have to have students be in regular classes and give them access to that grade level curriculum. Okay. But we also provide every student that's EL an opportunity for that explicit language. So they also have like an EL class throughout the day. At the elementary level, it's about 45 minutes a day. And at the middle and high school level, it's between 60 to 90. But we have students who are level one, brand new to English, taking biology this year, you know, taking algebra.
I just can't imagine, how much could you get out of that until you get, you know, to the point. I mean, school's hard enough, letting on, you know, biology and the terms you deal with there, or chemistry or something like that.
It's a struggle, and the supports we put in help, but you're right, like it takes time, you know, ultimately, even when we have all the tools, it's going to take time for them to adjust and get in the swing mm-hmm. of things. So
do you try to group them as far as their language, or do you have a mixture of different languages in the same classroom at times?
So in my classroom, I have two classes this year, mm-hmm. and one of them has four different languages all in one group. Okay. And the other one just happens to all be one language right now, which is Spanish. But at our elementary, we have a teacher who has a group of 13, and she has seven languages in
there. Seven different languages just represented.
In that group. Yeah, yep. So we just
I could not imagine, man.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And to see them start to learn from each other is also really powerful. You know, like our Vietnamese kids are working with our Spanish kids and they're learning how to talk in English and really hearing the different accents. And it's very authentic. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah. And I'm sure as you see them progress and get more confident with speaking English, too, and to see that the interaction they have with other students, and then that will translate, hopefully, to the adults around, too, and getting to the point where they feel like they've got some go-to phrases and expressions, and hopefully that, over time, you know, they can get a conversation going even.
Yeah, we really start with that survival language, you know, so to give them like, hi, my name is, can I go to the bathroom, the things that they're going to need
basics,
every minute, you know.
Right.
And then we dive into the deeper, the deeper language as they go.
But. Yeah, what's for lunch today, right?
Yeah,
I want to know what I have to look forward to.
We're even using picture menus for that.
Really?
So students can just point and pick one,
Well, this sounds like quite the challenge, but you obviously, this is your 10th year, and so you obviously love a challenge, and every day is probably a little bit different for you, huh?
It is, it's definitely challenging. When I took over the program, I didn't think it would be anywhere near what it is today, but I'm really grateful, you know, for all the time. And if I have the opportunity, I will probably retire in this position because it is truly a blessing for me. And to get to work with the families and the students and the staff, I just feel like it's a role that I was meant for, I think. So.
And when you get feedback, probably from the students, but probably get some interaction from their parents from time to time, I imagine, too, and hear good things. Know you're on the right track from what you hear from their parents, too?
Yeah, it's really great. We, in our family night, you know, those families are welcome to come, and we try to do a really great job of building relationships with them. So we have parents who will reach out to us and say, hey, my kid's gone, can you help let the office know? And, you know, so we just try and be available to them as much as we can. But when you see them at the soccer game and they come and say hi, like, you know that they are valuing what you're doing with the kids.
That's right.
It's powerful.
And a lot of these kids, too, they're getting involved in the extracurricular activities a school has to offer. Probably sports stands out, but there's other things, too, that allow them to get involved. And that, for them, again, a challenge, but that probably helps motivate them, too, to get to know more of the language and get comfortable with it, too.
Yeah, we have several doing soccer. We've got some doing like the one-act show, a couple of our students. So, there's a variety of activities for them. So
That's
it's great to see.
English Learner Program, the head of that at North Platte Public Schools, Kelly Sheets, has been our guest. Anything else you wanted to bring out here before we let you get back to your real job?
No, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me be here today. It was great to share.
I love spotlighting things like this, and things you don't think about, and I never knew there was that many students that needed this assistance. 27 languages from more than 20 different countries. Wow. A little bit overwhelming to this guy, but you've got it handled, and sounds like the school's in good hands with you and the other people that are involved in the program. Kelly, thanks so much for dropping by the Mug Studios.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. Do you, Anna, do they teach you a little bit of their language too? So,
oh, yeah. Yep. I pick up things every single day. It seems
all right.
Like.
So you have little go-to expressions that you can use, but I still can't imagine having those, having to try to memorize those in 27 different languages. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. You have a great day, and maybe we can get an update down the line sometime here in a couple of years. So.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.